So the other night, I found myself arguing with a toaster on Reddit. Okay, it wasn't technically a toaster, at least I hope not. It was an account that may or may not have been run by a person or a bot, or a very sarcastic AI with abandonment issues. It was hard to say. But somewhere between the flat earth memes and a slideshow of AI-generated Renaissance Muppets, it hit me. I'm losing the ability to determine what's real anymore. And I have a feeling that many of you feel the same. And personally, the scariest part, I don't think I'm supposed to. Because it's looking like we've built a world online and off where reality is less of a shared experience and more of a choose your own delusion simulator. You know, you can scroll through five different versions of the same event, all of them confidently wrong in their own special way. And the algorithm just hands you the one that makes you feel the most correct, or the most outraged, or ideally both. And this isn't just digital noise, it's a full-blown metaphysical crisis. And that's what we're dealing with now. You know, Plato would have taken one look at Twitter and set himself on fire. And ultimately, the line between fiction and nonfiction, it's not just blurred, it's been deep faked. I mean, it's been repackaged, monetized, and it's been served to you with a, did you like this content? Pop up. So here we are. Welcome to the uncanny valley of consensus reality, where nothing feels true, but everything still somehow hurts. So let's back up a bit before. We trusted an app to explain the universe and an algorithm to save our souls. We had philosophers. You know, people who sat around in robes asking questions like, what is real? And how do we know we're not just brains in a vat? Which was way ahead of its time. Considering how many of us now live in a vat called the comments section. So, metaphysics, the branch of philosophy dealing with the fundamental nature of reality, it goes way back, like ancient Greece back, you know, before brunch, before capitalism, and before people needed digital detoxes. And one of the OGs of metaphysics was Plato, who gave us the allegory of the cave. And if you haven't heard of it, it's basically this metaphor where a group of people are chained up in a cave, forced to watch shadows on a wall. And the shadows are all they've ever known. So to them, that's reality. But then one day, one of the people breaks free and stumbles out of the cave and sees the actual world. Sunlight, trees, birds, probably a decent coffee shop, and realizes, oh shit. I've been living in a simulation. Then he goes back and he tries to tell the others excitedly, of course. And they laugh at him, or they kill him, or they just download him or downvote him into oblivion. Because people don't like having their reality questioned. Especially not if it's the only one they've ever known. Now, I should add that Plato wasn't just talking about literal shadows. He was describing perception, belief, and the terrifying idea that we might mistake illusion for truth. Sound familiar? We used to need caves for that metaphor. And now we've got screens. High resolution, pocket-sized caves that feed us shadows. In the form of headlines, highlight reels, AI-generated scandals, or that fake video where Zuckerberg blinked like a normal human, obviously a dead giveaway. Okay, so here's something to ponder. When we're trying to decide if something is real, and your body reacts to an illusion the same way it reacts to reality, does it even matter that it's fake? I mean, if a deep fake gives you the same emotional reaction as the real person would have, are you still being manipulated? I mean, think about that. If your sense of reality is hijacked daily, are you even you anymore? And ultimately, how much does that really matter? But that's something you'll need to take some time to ponder. So these are metaphysical questions. And most people are trying to answer them with a brain that's been rewired by 10 hours of screen time per day and trauma. So the problem is we've mistaken the representation of things for the things themselves. And this isn't new. Philosophers have been warning about this stuff forever. Descartes. He's the one who had that whole "I think, therefore I am" bit, which was his way of trying to pin down what can actually be known for sure. So he questioned everything, the body, the senses, the world around him, until finally the only thing he was sure of was that something was doing the doubting. You know, if Descartes lived today, he'd probably be having a nervous breakdown over whether the Amazon review he just read was written by a person, a bot, or a guy in Bulgaria being paid $2 an hour to pretend he loves portable bidets. So then you got another philosopher, David Hume, who he basically said, hey, maybe causality isn't even real. Maybe we just expect the sun to rise tomorrow because it always has. And it doesn't mean it has to. And Hume would would have absolutely thrived on Twitter. You know, posting deadpan observations about how nothing can truly be known, and then rage-liking cat videos for 4 hours. Which, by the way, yours truly has been known to do. Okay, but maybe the most relevant metaphysician of our current mess, Immanuel Kant, who argued that we don't see the world as it is. We see it as it appears to us, basically through a filter, a framework, or like a mental operating system. You know, basically, Kant said, reality is mediated. And friend, let me tell you, if he'd seen what we've done with filters and frameworks, he'd choke on his powdered wig. Okay. So this is where we cue in the guy who wasn't technically a philosopher, but probably understood modern metaphysical anxiety better than any of them. Philip K. Dick. And if you don't know him, he was a science fiction writer and a man riddled with paranoia, amphetamines, and metaphysical dilemmas. Basically, the literary equivalent of a Reddit thread in human form. But he was also a visionary. You know, decades before deepfakes and AI-generated girlfriends, he was writing about identity, memory, and the terrifying unreliability of perceived reality. So his work basically is basically metaphysics on mushrooms. In books like Ubik, A Scanner Darkly, and you may have heard of this one, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? He asks things like, what makes us human? Is reality a shared experience or just a personal hallucination? Can you trust your memories, your perceptions, your sense of self? And spoiler, probably not. And of course, his work led to the film Blade Runner, which wasn't just about androids and neon rain. It was about what it means to be real in a world full of artificial everything. Artificial people, memories, emotions, you know, a future where the line between real and fake has eroded so completely that even the characters don't know which side they're on. So Blade Runner wasn't just a futuristic film noir that foretold our future. It felt like our future. Moody, lonely, drenched in advertising and existential dread. You know, kind of like scrolling Instagram during a blackout. But here's the part that really punches us in the collective teeth. This inability to tell what's real isn't just messing with your sense of self while you scroll at 2 a.m. It's actually bleeding into our physical lives. It's into our conversations, our elections, classrooms, and even our courts. You know, there used to be this idea that even if we disagreed on values, we could at least agree on the facts. You could believe taxes should be high or low, but at least we all agreed that 2 + 2 = 4. Now we're in an era where math is a conspiracy, and you know, people are getting into fistfights over whether the sky is blue or being gaslit by the deep state. And you know, this collapse of shared reality is the real metaphysical crisis. You know, not in a pretentious philosophy class sort of way, but like a civilization might stop functioning kind of way. That's how serious this is. I mean, science undermined by conspiracy. Education now viewed as indoctrination. Journalism rebranded as propaganda, you know, depending on which flavor of algorithm-fed outrage you prefer. And politics, you know, it's now less about policies and more about which simulation you've decided to live in. So some people don't just deny the facts, they choose entirely different realities, alternative facts, complete with their own heroes, villains, and alternate timelines. You know, they don't want to argue over how to interpret the truth. They want to argue over what truth is or whether it should exist at all. And this isn't just dumb. It's very dangerous. You know, society can't function without some consensus reality. You know, we all have to agree on something. So at this point, we're living in a world where everything is up for debate, except the fact that reality should matter. And when people can no longer agree on what's real, they stop being able to solve real problems. Climate change, pandemics, income inequality, genocide, all of it gets reduced to performance art in a theater where the stage itself is fake. And somehow we all just keep playing our roles, you know, because opting out feels lonelier than playing along with the glitch. So here we are, you know, spinning inside this recursive funhouse of illusion where reality is no longer agreed upon. It's voted on, marketed, monetized, or ignored. And honestly, this shit is exhausting, because it's not just the macro level breakdown, it's the personal toll. You know, the low-grade panic that comes from never being totally sure what's real anymore. The emotional fatigue of being gaslit by your own timeline. And, you know, the quiet horror of watching your grip on the world and yourself dissolve into a blur of simulated stimuli and contradictory narratives. You know, we used to talk about the search for truth like it was noble. Now it's a punchline, a meme, a quaint boomer fantasy, like, I don't know, cable TV or healthy marriages. Reality, it used to be something. And now it's just another setting in your preferences tab. Now look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've got some neat little five-step plan to detox your metaphysical confusion. You know, this isn't Hacks for Mental Clarity 101. This is What the Fuckery on a Cosmic Scale. Comic too, I guess. But there are a few things I think can help. And start with number one, slow the hell down. The faster the content, the less time your brain has to engage with it. Pause, breathe, read a whole article, watch a full documentary, read books, watch videos without a million edits. You know, don't scan or skip. Hell, I mean, finish this video. You might be the only one who does. All right, number two. Get back in your body and reconnect to the physical. Touch dirt. I don't mean the dirt in your apartment. I mean the dirt outside. Stand on the grass barefoot. Talk to someone in real life. Pet a dog, a cat, whatever. Ride a horse. Stare at some physical art. Anything that reminds you your nervous system. Reminds you that your nervous system, and that you're not a mammal, not a manic data processor in a dopamine cage. All right, number three. Practice what I call slow knowing. You know, we've trained ourselves to react instantly to everything. You know, news, outrage, trends. But you know, metaphysical clarity doesn't come at scroll speed. So try to give yourself space to not know. You know, try to hold conflicting thoughts, to feel the itch of uncertainty without scratching it with some AI-generated answer. You know, reality is, it's slow. It takes time. Sit with it. Cultivate inner stillness. You know, it doesn't have to be in a Zen monk kind of way, unless that's your thing, that's fine. But in the sense that you need some quiet space inside yourself that the noise can't penetrate. You know, a place where you remember that you are real, even when the world forgets how to be. Okay. Number four. Make things with your hands. You know, digital life is all inputs. But making things with your hands, like cooking, drawing, playing a musical instrument, carving a piece of wood until it becomes something other than wood. This gives you a sense of tangible cause and effect. you know, realness, agency, it reminds you that you're not just a consumer of illusions, but a creature in a physical world. Even if what you make sucks, I mean, especially if it sucks. Okay. Number 5. Cultivate little communities. So the internet promised global connection and gave us hyper-atomization instead. And maybe the antidote isn't more content, it's smaller, weirder, realer groups. Find, I don't know, a book club, a quirky independent cafe where no one has an online following, a Dungeons and Dragons group that meets in the basement, a hiking or running or meditation group, or I don't know, how about one of those local groups that cleans up parks and green spaces in cities? You know, try some volunteering. And I know, I get it, it's hard to break out of the introversion, especially those of us who are introverts. But small communities are, they're like metaphysical compost piles. You know, they might smell a little weird, but they grow truth. So, yeah. You know, we're in a metaphysical crisis. And it is getting worse, and it's probably going to get worse with AI coming in. And, you know, it's not because of philosophers or thinkers, you know, ancient riddles, but because the basic human need to understand the world has been hijacked by a digital economy that profits from confusion. But, you know, here's a weird little comfort. You're not crazy for feeling disoriented. You know, the world really has changed. And reality really is glitching in various ways. And if you feel like you're losing your mind, that might mean you're still aware and still sane. So maybe the trick isn't to find one true reality. It's just to stop letting fake ones own you or control you. Control your perception. Because, you know, in a world where almost nothing is real anymore, choosing to stay grounded might be the most rebellious thing we can do.